They can hear me right now. They can hear me? There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to
take a look at himself in the mirror and decide just exactly who he is. Well, I've come to that crossroads, and I've decided Notch is a man. Notch is an athlete. Notch is a lover.
But the most he is, I mean, the thing that
Notch
is the most is a goddamn champion.
Spring officially here. That means two things. Women in tank tops and Twins baseball. They do have something in common, though. Neither have been good to me recently. There's an old saying, and I know exactly how old the saying is because I came up with it. A crappy team is better than no team at all. Another litmus test this year at Target Field. At least the All-Star Game and the related festivities are going to be there this year. Some look forward to. It's going to be nice having the best players in Major League Baseball not beating up on the Twins, at least for a couple days. Looking forward to that. An old friend joining me now on the Sports Spectacular as we preview the season, find out how crappy this crappy team, which is still but our no team at all, is going to be. Brandon Warren, whose resume looks a lot like mine, he worked with Twinkie Town. He's written for FanGraphs. I need to compliment you because he's got a great article. If you haven't done your fantasy draft, by the way, he's got a great article about Billy Hamilton and why you should wait 10 rounds and take Ben Revere instead. I did exactly that. I followed your advice, and I'm really pleased with the results.
Well, good. Hopefully Revere stays healthy all year and steals bases. And I don't want to wish anything ill on Billy Hamilton, but I don't know if the guy can hit.
That's the thing, is that Ben Revere is going to get you right around a 300 batting average.
Yep. He puts the ball in play and puts it on the ground and sprints, and he's still a fast guy even with that foot injury. I'm very confident in Ben Revere this year.
You're losing a little bit in steals, but you gain quite a bit in batting average just by waiting a few rounds. So go check him out on FanGraphs. I know you worked for 1500 ESPN. You're doing some stuff with My 29 right now in the cities?
Yeah, a little bit of TV with Game On. It's Rod Simon's TV show that shows up on Sunday mornings on the TV dial. And hopefully got a couple things coming up down the pipeline here in the next, I don't know, a couple weeks or so before opening day. But nothing I really have firm set in stone quite yet. So we're still working on a couple different things.
All right, next Monday, the battle for last place in the AL Central, which is probably how it's going to shake down. Twins at White Sox. The 25-man roster hasn't yet been finalized, but some things we can pretty much talk about here. The rotation. So what happened to Scott Diamond?
Well, he worked with a really thin margin of error, I guess you could say, and that just kind of blew up on him last year. Didn't have any location. And when he can't locate stuff right where he wants to and get a whole bunch of ground balls, he basically just doesn't have it. On his best day, you got a guy that'll get a bunch of ground balls, not walk anybody, and you know you got to get balls hit right at people. And he did that for pretty much an entire season in 2012. And then in 2013, just kind of fell all over himself. And I don't even know if the skill set is really even there to be successful in the bullpen, but they don't want to lose him for nothing quite yet, so I wouldn't be stunned if he sticks in the bullpen, but I don't think he's going to win that fifth rotation spot.
It's funny you mentioned losing Scott Diamond for nothing, because you had last year's opening day starter, Vance Worley. You know, Ben Revere was sent to Philadelphia for Vance Worley, and Vance now at AAA. Of course, Wilson Ramos was traded for Matt Capps, and he's not on the roster anymore. Justin Morneau was traded for Alex Presley, and he's going to be the fourth outfielder on opening day. Only thing we have to show for all the trades, the front office moves, was Alex Meyer. You think he's going to make an appearance in the show this year?
Well, there's Trevor May, and so you got. I mean, you do have a couple of possible high ceiling arms. I think the ceiling on Meyer is considerably higher than May, but Meyer is the kind of guy that, yeah, they're hoping would debut this year. But the one thing is, he's not on the 40-man roster, so there's some maneuvering that would have to be done there to get him up. But I think May might be a little bit further up the totem pole because of the innings he gave the club last year, and I believe he even reached AAA and pitched there for a while too. But I think, you know, you got a guy on the 40-man versus not on the 40-man. It's easy enough to just promote May. May, to me, kind of projects as a back-end guy, inning beater with a bunch of strikeouts, but might be prone to stretches of trouble with control. But he throws hard. He's not a prototypical Twins pitcher. Meyer, on the other hand, also not a prototypical Twins pitcher. Strikeout guy, throws in the upper 90s. But the thing about him is somebody that size may have trouble repeating their delivery. So the people that are really pessimistic on Meyer might say he's, you know, late inning big time reliever. But there's still plenty of people who believe in Meyer as a top of the rotation starter.
I think a lot's going to depend on how the veteran pitchers that the Twins have brought in. They have Ricky Nolasco. He's going to start opening day against the White Sox next Monday. Phil Hughes coming over from the Yankees. He's kind of a strikeout pitcher. Also, got to limit the home run ball. Correa and Pelfrey are back from last year. How's the top of the rotation going to shake out for the Twins this year?
Well, I think you go with Nolasco up top. He gives you durability, gives you some strikeouts, basically gives you a little bit of everything. And in a market where pitching is either ridiculously overpaid or you get guys on like rookie contracts and that kind of thing, he's not a bad deal on a 4-year deal at about $12 million a year. I mean, that's just the going rate for decent pitchers these days, and you embrace it or you die by it. And I think the Twins decided, too, that while they wanted to go out and start striking people out a bit more, they still got to get a guy that can give them 180, 200 innings a year, like they did with Kevin Correa, what they think a healthy Pelfrey can give them. And Hughes, they wanted big, durable guys who can basically give you innings, but above league average innings, rather than just the league average innings like Correa is going to give you. So they basically didn't go crazy and spend a whole ton of money on guys with high ceilings, but they got guys who are going to be safe and are going to help them transition into the next successful era for the Twins.
Hopefully they can pitch to the seventh inning. That was a big concern last year. The bullpen pretty deep, though, especially when you have the loser of Gibson and Diamond for fifth starter. Deduno's going to be in the bullpen. Swarzak's in the pen. Jared Burton, Dunson, Glenn Perkins, they signed him to that big contract extension to keep him around until 2017. Bullpen, the strength of the team this year?
Yeah, and you got Casey Feenan there, too, who throws the fire out of it, too. And I think, kind of my theory, I mean, a crowded bullpen is a good bullpen. You send back a guy like Michael Tonkin, big, tall guy, throws in the high 90s, and Ryan Presley, who was with the team all last year, pitched pretty good out of the pen, got sent back to AAA this morning, actually. So you got a lot of competition. Guys like even Caleb Fielbar might not be a shoe-in for the bullpen, even though he pitched very well last year. So a crowded bullpen, like I said, it's a good bullpen in that you have guys that are, you know, they're basically pushing each other for the roles, and you can go with the hot hand on any given day, and it allows you to get 5, 6, 7 deep in a bullpen where maybe you've used Jared Burton 3 straight days. You don't have to feel bad about going to a Casey Fien or whoever's next out of the chute. And they do have, you know, 2 or 3 guys on the 40-man roster who can become good relievers. You got Edgar Ibarra, who had like a 2-month-long scoreless stretch in the minor leagues last year. He's had hepatitis this spring, but he, when he's healthy, is going to be a guy that they're going to go to. And so they've got some guys in the pipeline that can push some of these guys like Dunsing, who had a rough year last year, and that kind of deal. I mean, they don't need to stick with Scott Diamond in the bullpen if he gets sent out there and doesn't perform. They've got guys they can bring up and push out of those roles.
They're going to have a different catcher this year. It's going to be something different with Joe Mauer moving to first base this year. Kurt Suzuki was brought in, and they also have Pinto, who, depending on how Suzuki plays, I think Pinto might be the starting catcher by the All-Star break. What do you think about that?
Basically, what they're telling us is that Suzuki is the starter, Pinto is the backup. I'm not sure that I'm totally buying that. I think what the Twins want to do is have Pinto maybe DH 2 or 3 days a week against left-handed pitching because Kubel can't hit lefties. Parmalee can't hit lefties. And so basically what they want to do is have Pinto on the bench to hit against lefties and then catch as many games as his defense will allow, maybe 50%. I mean, I think there's a quasi-starting role there for Pinto, and I think he can steal the catcher's job just by playing well and showing some improvement in his receiving skills. I think the Twins basically gave the starting job to Suzuki, the veteran, not necessarily a very even good player, but just to motivate Pinto to spend the winter working hard on his catching skills and come to the spring, to training camp and all that, ready to take the job rather than get the job. And I think he's done that. I think he's closer to the starting job than most people would give him credit for.
Do you think Pinto has the job? Do you think he has the full-time job by the All-Star break?
Yes, I absolutely think he'll be the starting catcher by All-Star break.
All right, Joe Mauer at first base. As we go through the infield, Brian Dozier at second base. I want to talk a little bit more about him coming up in a few minutes. I'm with Brandon Warren, by the way. We're previewing the Twins 2014 season. BrandonWarren.com. Also, you write for Fangraphs, and you're on TV now, My29.
Yep, that's...
Got to make sure you look good if you're going to be on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Look good, feel good, right?
I have no such qualms being a radio guy. Shortstop, Florimone, Escobar, either of those guys going to start to hit this year?
I really do like Florimone defensively, and I think his body type is the kind where he's long and lean. I mean, if he makes contact, he can put a jolt into it. And he did have a fair amount of power for a guy who didn't really hit all that well last year. But he doesn't make consistent enough contact on the inside pitches, doesn't turn on them often enough to be much of an offensive force. Escobar, again, another little guy that has a lot of power in such a small frame, but he's prone to going through stretches where he'll be like 4 for 38 or something like that. And if he can just kind of make his approach a little bit more consistent, he's not necessarily going to be just a bench guy. He could be a guy who could play every day or be a platoon starter at shortstop and really have a chance to steal that role from Florimone. And then they got Danny Santana down in the minors too, who I think they like. So shortstop, there's a lot of competition, but none of it's really high-end, high-ceiling talent. And so I think Florimone's going to have the job out of the chute, but it wouldn't stun me if Escobar stole it from him.
So we go through the Twins' depth chart right now. Trevor Plouffe, Josh Willingham on that side of the field, third base and left field. Which one's more likely to have a rebound year?
I would go with Willingham because when he got injured last year, he was stealing a base, the only base he stole all year, actually, against Texas in late April. He was having a Willingham-like season. He was a high on-base percentage, high slugging percentage. He had a weird slide into second. Most people will remember he just kind of tweaked his knee a little bit, and he wasn't the same after that, like not even close. And he rushed back for whatever reason. I mean, the season was well over for the team at that point. And again, still wasn't the same. Hasn't looked good in the spring training, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think if he's healthy, though, I don't think he's lost bat speed. I don't think he's at a risk for, you know, regressing too badly. I'm not necessarily not a believer in Plouffe. I just think he's more of a lefty masher than he is an everyday player. His defense isn't all that good, and I'm not convinced he's as good of a rebound candidate as Willingham is, even though Willingham is considerably older.
But Plouffe can keep the hot corner warm until Sano comes for next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's pretty much no other option. There's nobody in the pipeline that's really going to push Plouffe for playing time. They just don't have anybody in the farm to do that.
Aaron Hicks won the center field job, leadoff spot again.
He looks like an absolute monster physically.
He's got all the tools. He should be hitting. I mean, last year, .259 on base average, leading off for the Twins last year. That doesn't set the tone. He's got a
no.
Is it something mental with him? Is it a mental thing with him?
No, I mean, I think it's just that he couldn't slow the game down mentally. And it's the same thing that Brian Dozier said when he came up for the first time. Was the game just moves so much quicker in the major leagues than it does in AA, AAA. And I think there are some guys that have advanced skill sets and can learn on the fly. And I can see why there'd be a reason to expect that Hicks would be that kind of guy. He's insanely talented, very patient at the plate, has a very refined approach. In fact, sometimes people even say he's kind of passive at the plate. But I think there was evidence at times that he really was figuring it out. He played really good defense for stretches, made some really fabulous plays, had that one, I think it was a two-homer game against the White Sox where he stole a home run from Adam Dunn. The talent is all still there. It's a matter of putting him in a position to succeed, and if that's batting him seventh for the first month of the season or something to that effect, I think the Twins need to consider all that, but I'm still...
He's supposed to be a leadoff hitter, though. His skill set screams out leadoff hitter. Who's going to bat leadoff for the Twins if they put him down in the sixth or seventh part of the order?
I think you just let Dozier sit there until Hicks proves he's ready. It's not necessarily a scenario in which you want Hicks to stay down in the seven hole because he's the kind of guy that's going to walk a lot. And that's perfect up top. He's got good speed, makes enough contact when he's right. And, I mean, he hits rockets all over the field when he's got his head down on the ball and all that. I think he's the prototypical leadoff guy to bat in front of a Dozier and a Mauer and a Willingham and all that. But I don't think you can rush him with it, too. I think you want him to show at the big league level that he's got that down before you force it on him again after how last year went.
They sent him down last year because he was struggling. How long of a leash are they going to give him this year, especially with Alex Presley around now?
Well, I mean, I'm not insanely in love with Presley. Presley's a
not either.
He's a decent fourth outfielder. He's not a very good defensive center fielder. In my view, I mean, he's veteran presence that will show him, look, we're not going to put Cleet Thomas back there behind you and have you just beat out Cleet Thomas to save your job. It's a guy who can play a little bit. So, I mean, he's definitely enough of a presence for Hicks not to get comfortable. But I think it's a similar leash as last year. And I think they still want to give him every chance to succeed. And they'll move him to the 9-hole, the 8-hole, the 7-hole if they have to. They'll do a lot of different things with him before they decide they got to send him back or do something different with him. I think he's got a lot of leash left.
Is Arcia the right fielder, or could it be Parmalee's job? Is that still up for grabs, or is Arcia won that job, do you think, in spring training?
Well, I mean, if all things are equal, it should be Arcia's job just based on how much he showed last year, and he can hit righties real well. But
they sent him down too. They've sent everybody down pretty much. The Rochester shuttle. Parmalee would be a great right fielder in Rochester, I think. I'm not a big Chris Parmalee fan.
Parmalee can hit right-handers when he's right. I don't think he'll ever hit lefties, but he's not a great right fielder. He can play the wall at Target Field. He's got a pretty good arm. I think he was a pretty good outfielder when he was in high school and when he was younger, but I don't know if he's anything more than a tweener, you know, somebody who can play first base defensively but doesn't really have the bat to stick there, or even in right or left field necessarily. But the trouble is, you know, he's a former first-round pick, and former first-rounders get the longest leashes of all, and that's why he might be more likely to make the team over a guy like Chris Colabello or anything like that. So I don't think we've seen the last of Parmalee. I don't think they'll send Arcia back to Rochester. I sure hope not, but
it
wouldn't.
I think it was an attitude adjustment demotion for Arcia last year.
He does have a little bit of flair and a little bit of bravado, but I think ultimately, I think he's a good kid. I think there was times when he would face lefties and he would look like a fish out of water, and then that would carry into his at-bats against righties. And if you look at his splits, I mean, he started out pretty good, tailed off, came back up hot, tailed off again, and it was just, he would have stretches where he would look like a guy who should be hitting cleanup in a big league order, and then he would look like a guy who should be a bench bat or a guy at AAA still learning the game. And when you look in the minor leagues, he hasn't had that much time above high A, above double A, or anything like that. So he's still learning on the job, and he's still doing it. You know, he's been kind of thrown into the fire a little bit, but I'm a big believer in Arcia this year, and I hope they don't send him down just because they can. I think he has earned the right to play every day in right field and show that he can improve at the big league level.
Guy I'm thinking about depth-wise for the 2014 Twins this year, I don't know if he makes the roster or not, Chris Herman. Do they keep him as a third catcher, or do they use Joe Mauer as the emergency third catcher and open up a roster spot for somebody else?
Well, I think you have to take Mauer completely out of the equation. I think the emergency third catcher is Eduardo Escobar, actually. And I believe Herman was part of the roster moves to get sent down today, actually. I do know what you're saying, though. I think Herman, from a versatility standpoint, works because he can catch, he can play right, left field, he can even play center, I think, in a pitch.
Is he a major league hitter, or is he a 4A hitter?
Well,
like Parmalee is.
The trouble is with Herman is he's hardly played a AAA, to the best of my knowledge. He's a guy who's hit in AA, had a really good on-base percentage, and has done well in AA, but the Twins had to bring him up at the end of 1 year when they were short on players, and they kind of shuttled him back and forth. And so he hasn't really had a lot of stability. I still believe he can hit enough to be an effective kind of a 25th guy who can play a bunch of different positions. Do I think he's a big league starter? I couldn't say that, but I think once they settle the situations with Colabello and Parmalee, I mean, they got all these Chris's in camp. It's got to be kind of confusing.
Colabello's got to make the roster, though.
I'm not convinced. I would say there's a spot for him, but if it's as a left-handed, you know, to DH against left-handed pitchers because he's a righty, I mean, you can't platoon your DH role when you're a team that's not going to be all that good. I mean,
they don't have a full-time DH, though. Kubel is the guy you got to platoon. He's going to be the guy that hits against right-handers and Colabello against left-handers. I think that's the platoon.
I think the DH Pinto, personally. I think the DH Pinto and Suzuki catch.
You rotate them, get guys at bats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can carry a strict platoon DH when you're already going to be carrying Parmalee, who can play first. That makes basically negates any reason to have any other backup from our. Colabello has options. So, I mean, right or wrong, I think you send him back.
I think over the course of the season, we're going to have a bunch of guys rotating between here and Rochester. We're previewing the 2014 Minnesota Twins baseball season next Monday. Brandon Warren, Fangraphs, BrandonWarren.com, also My29's with me. Ready to do some over-unders?
Yeah, let's take it.
All right, we did these before, and I didn't keep track of how we did, but it was entertaining at least, which is the whole point of this.
Right.
Are you entertained?
Oh, always.
Hixie, 350 on base, over-under.
Oh, man. I'm going to take the under just because he'd probably have to hit 265 to do that. I'm not quite sure if he's ready to do that yet. I'm going to just under.
So around 340, 335?
Yeah. If he hits 250, he's going to have a 340, 335 on-base percentage.
The key is getting him to hit that 250.
Right, yeah.
My candidate for breakout player of the year, Brian Dozier, 20.5 homers, over-under.
Give me the under. I think he's going to hit a bunch of doubles instead.
I disagree. I think he's about a 21 homer, 75 RBI guy this year.
He might be. It wouldn't stun me, but
he's ready to take the next step.
Last year, I don't know if he can do it again.
Target Field's really good for right-handed power hitters. He's ready to take the next step. I'm not sure about Hicks should be the breakout guy this year, but I think Brian Dozier is going to be the breakout candidate for the Twins this year.
Could be.
Joe Mauer, over-under 320 batting average.
Give me the over. I think he's healthy this year, and he has a monster season at first base.
He's going to be healthy. He's not going to have to worry about his knees.
I wouldn't be shocked if he hit 340 with 50 doubles and 20 homers. I'm a big Joe Mauer fan.
I drafted him in fantasy this year. I'm hoping you are right.
Oh, yeah. Catcher eligibility, that's huge.
That's right, yeah. He's got the catcher eligibility. He's my starting catcher.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. Josh Willingham, over under 25.5 dingers and over under 80.5 ribbies.
Ooh, that one's tough. I'll say under because if it's got to be in a Twins uniform, they might trade him.
He needs to have a big year, though.
He does, and they need to find a way to either. I don't think he's got a future beyond this year in Minnesota, regardless, because you already got an outfield that's probably going to be.
Is it really a double-edged sword with Josh? If he has too good of a year, that makes his trade value too high to keep?
Well, yeah, that's why I took that out for the over-under. Because if he's good enough,
I see. You're just hedging. You're just hedging your bets.
Yeah, he's not going to play with the team long enough to make that. If he plays that well, he'll be dealt to like Tampa Bay or something like that.
Kansas City. I can see Kansas City getting him.
They got Gordon in left field. They would DH Willingham probably, and they got Billy Butler. It's hard to find a good fit for him. I mean, Seattle might be a good fit if they're in the race. And Seattle was the team.
They're not going to be in the race.
He was coming down to. I think that was the team he came down to signing with. I think it was Cleveland and Seattle and the Twins were the last three teams in on Willingham. So that could be a good spot for him.
All right, we talked about Byron Buxton earlier. 0.5 plate appearances in the show.
Give me the over. I think they find a way to make it happen.
This year?
I really do. I really do. I think they find a way to make it happen this year. I don't know how or why, but I believe in it.
How good is he going to have to play in the minors to get the call-up this year?
320 maybe with as many walks as strikeouts and maybe 15 home runs and 15 triples. I don't know. I mean, he'd have to have a monster year and basically force the Twins' hand, and I could see it happening. I mean, they want the excitement. The Twins want to do things to make fans come onto the game, and I think that's something the fans lose sight of.
I'm just worried about his confidence level if you bring him up too early.
I think it'll be there. I think he's a very
like Aaron Hicks was last year. He might have had a confidence problem. That might have been part of his problem.
Yeah, but Aaron Hicks was never the prospect that Byron Buxton is. Not even close.
Any Twins starting pitcher this season, 11.5 wins, over under.
Give me the over. I think you get
which one? Which one?
Nolasco would be my slam dunk, my sleeper.
How many wins over 11.5 do you think? How many wins leads the staff? How many wins leads the rotation?
13, probably.
So that'd be like a 13-9, 13-10?
Yeah, I think you can see that from Nolasco. I think Phil Hughes has a chance. I think Pelfrey's got a chance. I think there's some room, there's some wiggle room with all these guys because just how they, basically the nature of their statistical profiles, each of these guys has a chance to do more than what the statistics, the projection systems are saying. And it could be a decent enough year for that pitching staff.
Which starter gets DFA'd first? Because they haven't looked good in the spring. Nolasco and Hughes got shelled their last times out in the spring.
Oh, I don't think anybody other than maybe Correa gets moved, and that would be in a trade. I think everybody else is safe. Everybody else.
Correa's got trade value? You think he has trade value?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got DFA written all over him.
His contract is so low, though. I mean, he's only making, like, I think $6.5 million this year, $5.5 million. I mean, he literally has some trade value just on the basis of that alone. For a playoff team, if they can get innings out of him. I mean, as a number five starter. He's a number five starter on a really good team, especially now all these pitcher injuries that are taking place. I'm not saying teams are going to covet him or give up anything, maybe a utility infielder or something, but the innings are starting to show that they have more value than people previously had believed, I think.
Might get an outfielder if you're going to trade Willingham during the season. Glenn Perkins, 35.5 saves, over-under.
Well, I'd have to see what he did last year. I think he can at least do what he did last year. I think, yeah, I'd say the over. I think he'll get in enough games to do that. I think he's going to have a very nice year.
Hopefully, because the big contract, you don't want him getting that big contract disease.
Right, yeah.
Like some guys do.
He's one of those guys I don't worry about. He's one of the most even-keeled, best guys on the entire team. And it's a team full of guys that are all real good guys.
All right, one final over-under, Brandon. The Twins, the Vegas line is 70.5. I'm setting the line at 72.5 because if you want to avoid a 90-loss season, you need 73 wins to do that. Over under 70.5 or 72.5. You say 74?
Give me 74.
I was going to say 73 and 89. They were just going to get above.
Yeah,
just going to get above.
I had broken down the numbers about a week ago, and they're second halves and their Septembers have been the most non-competitive baseball that you have seen in the history of baseball, and they just need to have the stability with these veterans to finish out the season and go something like 80-82 or 78-84. You know, maybe not necessarily be near 500 at the break, but maybe have a nice little September or something, you know, play spoiler, knock somebody out of the race, do something other than just rolling over. And I'm not talking about rolling over from a not trying standpoint, but just from a not having the talent to put in the lineup every day standpoint. And, I mean, that's, to me, that is the difference between losing 90 and losing 85 or 82 or 84, which I think is within reach. Just
on
by
paper, they can stay out of the cellar. On paper, they can stay out of last.
Yep, I agree with that.
Maybe fourth. I don't know about Cleveland. I think Kansas City's second, but hopefully the Twins can beat out the White Sox. I don't want them finishing last this year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you don't need top five draft picks anymore. You need to start making some hay when there's daylight.
The future's bright for the Twins, though. Brandon Warren has them at 74-88.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It'll be a good year.
I think so.
Like I said, a crappy team's better than no team at all.
Yep, exactly.
Brandon Warren, how can we get your wisdom online?
At Brandon _ WARNE on Twitter. And from there, that's basically my hub. You can get a hold of me anyway through there.
Because you change so much. Everything's different with you.
It really is.
Almost as much as me.
Changes for the good.
Sometimes.
Changes for the best, yeah.
Sometimes.
Changes for the best for me right now.
All right, Brandon Warren. Wins this year at least 73 times.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks.